Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Every 6 months or so, the Mormon Church has what's known as General Conference, and this is where Mormons go to listen to their leaders speak. They are told that when their leaders are speaking, that they can assume that that is God speaking through them to the membership. So General Conference messages certainly do carry an extra ounce of importance, you might say, to the average Latter-day Saint. Robert D. Hales is a Mormon apostle, and Robert D. Hales oftentimes gives us pretty good sound bites on some of the things that he says. But in this last talk, he gave a talk about testimonies, Eric. What was the title of that?
Well, and when I got the new ensign, I had not heard this talk. This is a November 2013 ensign. I always get excited because I like to read all through the conference editions, because we've been told that what is said at conference is treated as scripture, so to speak. And so I read through every word, and this talk was General Conference, Strengthening Faith and Testimony, and he followed Thomas Monson at the very beginning of the conference. So he's up first, basically, after the prophet gets up there, and he's going to set the tone for this conference. As I read his talk, I was disturbed by a few parts, because he's basically talking about how important the General Conference is and how we ought to listen and how we can get so much out of that as Latter-day Saints to be able to be, well, I guess get closer to God is the whole goal. But he said this, and this would be on the first page, on page 6 of his talk. He says, "Another said, I have never before felt so profoundly that a talk was being given to me," referring to a General Conference talk. "This is possible," he wrote, "because the Holy Ghost carries the word of the Lord onto our hearts in terms we can understand. When I take notes at General Conference, I do not always write down exactly what the speaker is saying. I note the personalized direction the Spirit is giving me." He goes on and says, "What is said is not as important as what we hear and what we feel." Now, the words said, hear, and feel are in italics. Let me read that again. "What is said is not as important as what we hear and what we feel. That is why we make an effort to experience conference in a setting where the still small voice of the Spirit can be clearly heard, felt, and understood." The testimony that Mormons have, they read the Book of Mormon. Everybody who's a potential convert is supposed to read the Book of Mormon. According to Moroni 10:4, they're supposed to pray about that message to see if it's true. And if a person has a sincere heart and true intent, that God will manifest that into a person's life. It's been called the burning in the bosom. So a person becomes a Mormon based on prayer, based on a feeling that this is true, and the next step is to get baptized, and now you can become a member of this church. I think we ought to emphasize greatly the importance of a Mormon testimony, how powerful that is, the impact it has, and a Latter-day Saint believes that by having this testimony, even when the winds blow, they're not going to be shaken in their faith.
Well, they're going by a subjective experience. But I think what troubles me, and when you're reading that statement there, is it's not so much what is said, but what I feel. Well, wait a minute. What if I'm not feeling something that's accurate? That almost goes along with what we hear and what we criticize within Christian circles. When we hear Christians say, "Well, what does this verse mean to you?"
Oh, that's the nails on the chalkboard for me.
Oh, man, and I hear this far too many times, because that's not the way we are supposed to interpret what is written in God's Word. This is where I'm kind of puzzled by what Hales is trying to say here. Is he really implying that even though he might say something, that a person's feeling about what he says is supposed to be more important to them? Or,
well, the Bible certainly teaches that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can understand it? That's what the prophet Jeremiah said. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we're supposed to study and to seek it out. And if we do what God has intended, it does matter what the written word says. What God's word is going to say needs to be accepted regardless of my feelings or my presuppositions of how I feel about that.
Let me take what Hales had said and let us put it in light of what Robert L. Millett says. Robert L. Millett, BYU professor, Mormon apologist. In the Deseret News back on March 16, 2003, there was an article, From Faith to Fanatic Delusion, which I thought was a very appropriate title, and really fits with what Millett is going to say here. He said, our blessing is that we believe in personal revelation. Our curse is that we believe in personal revelation.
Mm.
That's the honest fact for me. There is a risk associated with the position we take towards God's ability to speak to you and me. And I would have to say this is one of the rare times where I actually agree with Robert Millett. We can take things wrongly. And how many times when something is said to our children and they don't do what we instruct them to do, and they say, didn't you hear what I said? Yeah, I heard what you said, and what they heard was not what we said.
Yes.
Well, what if this person who is taking Robert Hale's admonition here, and he's not writing down what he actually says, but what he feels he's saying?
Or yes.
What, that could be very dangerous.
Well, that's postmodernism. Postmodernism says it's not as important as what the writer meant. It's what the reader interprets it to mean. And as I was saying earlier, this is not something that the Bible wants us to do. And I mentioned 2 Timothy 2:15. Let me just quote that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible says we need to study the Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, because all Scripture is inspired and it's profitable for us, but we're going to have to understand what it is saying. I always like to go back to Acts chapter 17 with Paul when he's preached to the Bereans. After he's gone to the Thessalonians, the Bereans went and they didn't just write down thoughts and say, what does this mean to me? How can I get the fullness of the Spirit out of this? What did they do? They went straight to the Old Testament Scriptures, and the Word of God says that they were considered to be more noble than the Thessalonians because they were willing to seek it out with Scripture. This is the dangerous part of listening to ourselves, because listening to ourselves, we don't know when our feelings are deceiving us. We don't have any ability to test that.
I'm looking at what Hale said, though, and I'm thinking how a Mormon, if I'm reading this thing, and we've gone back over this article,
yeah,
and we're trying to understand what exactly was he saying here, because I don't think for a minute that Robert Hales was implying that when I say something and you feel just the opposite, that's okay.
No, I don't think he's thinking that.
I don't think he's saying that at all. But what exactly is the dividing line? How far can a Mormon individual push that to where they may cross the line? But then argue, but that's what I felt.
Yeah. And how do they know? There's a little primary song that I looked up on the internet that just came out about a decade ago. It's a Latter-day Saint song. And it's called The Still Small Voice. Let me read the words of this little song. It says, through a still small voice, the Spirit speaks to me, to guide me, to save me from the evil I may see. If I try to do what's right, He will lead me through the night. And it goes on, and it says, direct me, protect me, and give me my soul His light. Listen, listen, the Holy Ghost will whisper. Listen, listen to the still small voice. But how do I know that that still small voice is telling me opposite? And that's where the Bereans went to the Scriptures to see if what was said was true. If what Mormonism is teaching in its standard works, in the general conference here, in this October 2013 conference, if what is being said is contrary to Scripture, the Bible says, doesn't matter what you think about it, reject what is being said.
What you just said goes along with, I think, is what Mormon Apostle Russell M. Nelson was saying in a conference message he gave called Ask, Seek, Nock. This is found in the November Ensign, 2009, page 83. This is what he says. This is very interesting. He says, revelation from God is always compatible with his eternal law. It never contradicts his doctrine. It is facilitated by proper reverence for deity. Now, wait a minute. That's what I've been saying. I've been saying that since I started studying Mormonism after becoming a Christian in the mid-1970s. One of the problems that I had with some of the things that my Mormon friends and acquaintances were telling me is that what they said was revelation from God, and they believed to be true, actually conflicted with what I saw to be God's eternal law in his written word. Now, my Mormon acquaintances could not prove that what was written in that law, the Bible, they couldn't prove that it was erroneous in the way it was written down and being portrayed to me, but they still insisted that revelation told them, for instance, that what Joseph Smith said about God, we have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. Well, what did he just refute? What I would say would be God's eternal law. That's the way God is. Now, you're telling me that Joseph Smith said that's not true. That's erroneous. You've imagined and supposed it was true when it wasn't. Revelation tells the Latter-day Saint to go against what's already been written down.
Yeah.
So you can see the problems that can develop by going with what you feel or what you think is being said. I think you make a good point when it comes to the Bereans, is because they wanted to know exactly what was said in the scripture, and we know the context there would be the Old Testament at that time because the New Testament wasn't written at that point, but still they wanted to know exactly what was said. What did the writer want to convey to the reader? Not what did he think about it or feel about it.
Truth is the most important thing out of all of this, and if something is not leading us toward truth, who cares what our feelings say?
I would have to agree with that.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to visit the Holy Land? If so, we've got an opportunity for you. Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson from Mormonism Research Ministry will be hosting a trip to Israel and Turkey in February 2015. We start with an optional 7-day trip to Turkey, as we'll see the seven churches of Revelation, including Ephesus, Laodicea, and Pergamum. Then, we head to Israel for 11 days, where we'll see amazing sights such as Caesarea, Upper Galilee, the Dead Sea, and Jerusalem. There'll be a special Joel Kramer Day as we climb up to Cave 1 in Qumran and see some incredible biblical sites. Your price includes airfare, 3- and 4-star hotels, professional guides and bus drivers, buffet meals, and all taxes and tips. To learn more, we invite you to visit mrm.org and click on the Israel icon in the top right-hand corner of the page. Every family who signs up receives a complimentary copy of Joel Kramer's Jericho Unearthed. Again, please visit mrm.org to find out more about this exciting trip. No doubt, an experience that will forever change your life.